GreatSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn from you again today. And we ask that you bless everyone in Jesus' name. As we delve into your word, let everyone have his own word and be transformed indeed in the name of Jesus. Let no one return back the same way after watching or listening to this in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic remains the way of the winner. Last week was the episode we dedicated to the law of desire, and we understood the power of our desires and the point at which we could actually cross the line to begin to do what God has not planned for us to do. So today we'll be looking at the way of the winner. What is the path that leads to victory? What is the path that we can take to the blessedness that God has planned for you and I? And remember, the good success is God's plan for you and I. In fact, God attached good success to spirituality. We know that if you really want to walk in spirituality and in the will of God, you cannot separate yourself from the word of God. And guess what God said? He said, "This book of the law," which means the scripture, the Bible, "should not depart from your mouth, but you must meditate in it day and night." And when we do this, we have good success. God gave us his own prescription for good success, which means as a child of God, you and I, we need to walk in victory. In fact, God said to us that he has made us to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than conquerors. So if we really want to walk in that victory that God has set for us, we need to understand the path that God has designed for us to walk in. There is a path that leads to victory. The Bible itself says that there is a path that seems right to a man. He said, but the end thereof is a way of destruction. So there is a way that leads to winning. There is a way that leads to failure. And there's a way that leads to danger. I just wish the path of the word simply leads to failure. But no, it's more than that. It leads to death. That's what God says. Which means we have to be very, very super careful when it comes to walking in wisdom and trying to take the path to victory. So we're going to read a scripture, not a scripture, several scriptures. And today we'll be focusing on Nehemiah. Remember, I said at the last month, the last Bible study we had, I talked about the fact that we will be focusing more on the book of Nehemiah in the few weeks to come. And so today we'll be looking at the life of Nehemiah. I'll be connecting that to the path, the winning way, the way of victory, the way of the winner. Praise God. If we read Nehemiah chapter 4, it says, "It happened when Sambalat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And if we keep listening, we will see and understand that these guys were trying everything possible to stop them from winning, from having the victory and the success they have set to do.'" So today we want to analyze all these things and then look at a few points that could be of help to all of us. So what is the winner's blueprint to winning? What step-by-step approach can we use to actually win and have the success we want to have in life? The first thing I'm going to mention today is that it begins with a vision. Where are you going? Where am I going? If we don't have a vision, the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. That means if the people don't know where they're going, they will cast off restraint, of course. You know, if you are walking a path and you don't know where it's going, you don't know how long it's going to take, eventually you're going to get tired. I'm going to get tired. So that is what happens. That's why that scripture, if you check other minutes, it says they cast off restraint. Either they are overdoing it or underdoing it. They are just not going to have this kind of success they want to have, because the way of the winner requires definiteness. It requires you to have a definite goal, a definite end, a definite vision, a definite end goal in mind. If, let's say, we have 24 people on the football field and they are playing soccer, at the end of the day, if there's no goalpost at this side or at the other side, I mean, they will keep playing forever. If they don't stop, maybe they will faint or just, you know, it's going to stop somehow. They won't be able to say somebody won or somebody lost because there is no goal. There is nothing to achieve. There is nothing they can use to measure the achievement and the goal. So that is why in life, a vision is the major thing that drives success. When God was sending Jesus to this world, what did he say? It was for the goal of saving mankind before he was sent. In fact, the Bible says he wrought that salvation before the beginning of the world, before the foundations of the world. And we know that God was intentional. He said Jesus was going to save them from their sins. That's why he named him Jesus. Every other person like that in the Bible, God had a mission for their lives, a vision, something he wanted to accomplish from their lives. So for you and I also, if we are not running with a vision, we will be tired. I've tried it over and over again. Every day I wake up in the morning and I don't write a vision. I say that I'm so busy that day. I mean, I will be super busy, maybe the busiest person in the world. But at the end of the day, I feel so frustrated. I've been busy, I've been doing things, but it looks as if I've not achieved anything. That's what it feels like. But when I sit down, maybe a day before or in the morning before I start working and getting busy, if I sit down and I write down the goals, the plan for the day, even if what I've accomplished doesn't look like what I accomplished yesterday that I didn't do the plan, it still feels a little better. It feels like I did something. I feel so fulfilled because I have a goal that I'm following. That is why every child of God who wants to walk in the winning way needs to have a vision. A vision that is captured from scripture. Whether God told you directly, whichever way God revealed it to you, or you found it from the scriptures. Or just a sanctified desire. A divinely inspired desire. Just like Nehemiah. Nehemiah had that desire. It wasn't like God said, "Hey Nehemiah, this is what I'm going to do with your life." No. He just said, "No, I have a zeal for the house of God. The walls of the house of God cannot be broken down, and I have the power to do something and I will not do my own." Remember Esther. Esther had the power to save her people, and she said, "You know what? If I perish, I perish. I'll just go ahead to do this because this is me having this opportunity to do something to make a difference." Sometimes God will reveal the plan of your life to you by just giving you an opportunity, by giving you an advantage that other people will not have or do not have. So if we miss that opportunity, we may just be missing out on the winning way that God has laid before us. Not everybody will hear God saying in an audible voice, "This is the way to go, go in it." He will still reveal his plan to you, but it may not just be that dramatic. He can just give you an opportunity, and in that you will have the inner witness that this is the way to go. If we miss it because we are looking for something dramatic, we may just be missing it. So the first plan in the blueprint is to know that it begins with a vision, a divine instruction, a spirit-inspired desire. So once we have that, we can sit tight and say, "You know what? Right now, this is all I have." And sometimes, all you just have to do is to do something for someone. And while doing that, you will find your own vision and mission in life. Joshua in the Bible, it wasn't said at the beginning that Joshua heard that this is what God was going to do to him. He was just serving Moses wholeheartedly. And he found destiny by that. Sometimes, it will be in the same line. Sometimes, it will be another line. But what your hand finds to do, the Bible says, to do it well. We all don't have the right to ask for something higher if you don't do the lower thing in quotes that we have right now very well. Jesus said, "If a man is faithful in little, then he's faithful in much." He didn't say we'll be faithful in much. He said he's already adjured to be faithful in much. Abraham, he just had faith in God and it was adjured to him. It was accounted to him for righteousness. If you know the difference between just having that faith in God, believing God for all the things he said, and to be accounted for righteousness, you will begin to wonder, how can somebody receive that greatness just because he had a little faith? But that's how God works. He judges us by the little things we do. That's the first thing. The first thing is for us to understand that it all begins with a vision. And the second point is that your convictions will be tested. You may think you have a vision, you may think you have a plan, it will be tested. It will be tested along the way to know whether you really have enough convictions in this part. If, for example, you have a vision, I want to start a business. And when you start, you have all this joy. Man, if I can just do this within 4 months, I'll become a millionaire. And 6 months, 10 months, 1 year, you're like, God, what's happening? What's happening? This is not the kind of thing I thought would happen when I started this. However, your desires, your vision, your convictions will be tested. It doesn't mean, yes, it must be delayed forever, but whether it's fast, no matter how fast it is, it will still be tested. If it's not tested by the way of the result you get, it will be tested by people like Sambalat and Tobiah, because they will come and test your conviction. They will come and check you out, whether you really believe in this vision. They gave Nehemiah and his people every opportunity to say, you know what, this war thing, I think we should just stop. It's not worth it. Why should we die because we just want to build walls? However, because they have enough conviction, they know what they are doing is right. They look for every avenue to make sure it happens. Do you know what happens with a lot of Christians? They look for every avenue to justify their failure and to look for alternatives why they should stand firm. It doesn't mean that if something doesn't work, you need to question it. You need to ask God. But once you are sure this is the path, even if it's not working the way you think it should work, you need to stay there, ask God for a new way. Maybe you are missing out of the right path to go. You are just not doing something well. Then it is time for you and I to take the right path, to look for whatever is not working and make sure it begins to work. So the first thing is to make sure you are sure of your vision, of what exactly it is you want to accomplish. Remember, every time you remember the word winning, you remember running a race. And when you are running a race, there will always be a line at the end that will be the focus. So if you are running and there is no line, then the person will run forever. So you want to keep your eyes on the vision. And then the next thing is to understand that along the way, it wouldn't just be a bed of roses, so to say. There will be things that will test whether you really believe in this vision. Remember, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Even Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was tempted, which means you will be tempted. You will be tested by people like Sambalat and Tobiah. They will come and test your vision and conviction. There was no reason why this guy should want to stop the war. If, for example, as a Christian, you think, I didn't offend anyone, so nobody should stop my vision. No. In fact, for the very reason that you have a vision, means there will be enemies rising up here and there. Enemies within, enemies without, enemies outside. The first thing you have to deal with is enemies within, physical ones, family members that wouldn't just believe in your vision, friends that wouldn't believe in your vision, church members that wouldn't believe in your vision, people around you, people that you are familiar with. Maybe they are the ones the Bible calls familiar spirits. See, they are so familiar with you that they can't see any other special thing about what you want to achieve. So you need to filter out what they say. Sometimes you will have to look at what they say critically and follow it. Sometimes, if not most times, you have to filter it out and say, you know what, this person can't just see beyond the box of my life. He can't see beyond the box. You need someone who can see outside the box. So these people will come up. And the next set of people will be you, the enemies inside, the enemies within, which will be number one, imposter syndrome. Just like it happened to Gideon. Gideon had all this power, all this potential. How do we know that? The first thing is that he challenged the angel. If God is with us, why are all these things befalling us? He was passionate. The passion was there, but because he felt he couldn't do anything, he just rested in his shell. He began to hide in his shell. And that's what happens to most of us. Let's ask a question. I think it's Mike Murdock that asked this question. He said, if everything were perfect, if what you desire can actually come to pass without anything stopping it, without the money stopping it, without, you know, education stopping it, without the abilities you have stopping it, what would you accomplish? If there was nothing that could stop it, what is it that you can accomplish? What will you try to accomplish if nothing can stop it? Let's look at it that way. Let's even pretend for this 1 month or the weeks you have this month that, see, I will pretend as if everything can come to pass, as if my success can happen, and I'll begin to do everything in line without faith. Just pretend like a little baby. When you carry a baby, they don't worry about falling. They just believe you are carrying them. And guess what? You are a child of the Most High God. And God is carrying you and I. If I can just assume that everything will work well, what will I do? What steps will I take? Will I just write my plans and not do anything? Or I will write the plans and begin to take them one after the other, believing that God is with me. What will you do if you really believe that God is with you? So you will drop that imposter syndrome. You will drop that low self-esteem and begin to say, you know what? I am taking this step towards the actualization of this vision and plan of God for my life. You will say, you know what? Nothing is stopping me. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to take the right steps. That your business you've been thinking about for years, when are you going to take the first step towards it? When are you going to just believe that, yes, I'm good enough? That God is with me. So I know this can be accomplished. The problem sometimes is that you care too much about yourself. Maybe we just care too much about ourselves. What will people say? Now, let's put it this way. All the years they have been saying things, how has it affected your life? And the truth is this, nobody really cares about you like you think. The people are so filled with the problems of their lives, they don't have time for you. If you think people remember the clothes you wore last week, you better think again. Ask all the friends you have, which clothes did I wear to church last week? And see if they will remember. Even the people in your unit, will they remember? Probably not. They are busy thinking about their own clothes, not to think about your clothes. So forget it. Move ahead. Whatever you have right now, use it. If you have to borrow vessels, borrow vessels. Just like the prophet told that widow. Borrow vessels, not a few. If you think you are not adequate enough, if you think you are not skilled enough, then borrow vessels. Borrow the skills of other people. Join groups. There is something I've been trying to do for years. And recently, I was watching a video and I saw somebody who could do it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take a step. I will join this group. When I joined the group, it didn't take me more than a day or 2 days to realize that, oh man, I've been doing this the wrong way. That's why I couldn't achieve anything, because I was doing it the wrong way. I had no clue of all the things that people are to do to add the results that they are having. And yet I was doing it my way, using my own native intelligence. That is the reason why people fail, because we just try to do things our way. If you think you don't feel bold enough or adequate enough, so to say, if you think you don't feel good enough or equipped enough, then get someone to help you, because this will equip you to be able to go the right way and to achieve the result faster, even without stress. What's the next step? Remember what we just finished is that your convictions will be tested. And the next one is that your faith will be tried. Your faith will be tried. You said you believe in God. Challenges of life will come and say, do you really believe in God? If you fail at that time, it means your strength is small, like the Bible says. It says, if someone fails in the day of adversity, in the days that things are not going the way they should, and the thought that comes to their mind is, you know what, I'm just giving up, then their strength is small. Your faith will be tested. The way of the winner, you must have it at the back of your mind that your faith will be tested, that my faith will be tested. You must have it in plan. I remember Bishop Oyedepo saying that when people began to castigate him and say all manner of negative things, he said, God told him, you know what? Prepare yourself. Develop yourself to enjoy tests and trials and tribulations. It's part of the package. Jesus said, in this world you will have a hundredfold of all these things that you have lost. He said, but you know what? Accompanying this thing will be tribulations, will be persecution. People will persecute you for doing the right thing. So we must understand that our faith will be tested. And then number four, you will be tempted to lose balance. This is so critical and important. What do I mean by balance? Let's go to Nehemiah. You know, Nehemiah, when all the threats began to come from right, from left, from center, Sambalat, Tobiah, and all these people, the Arabs and everybody, they were testing them and tempting them and intimidating them to stop the work. Something that doesn't concern them. They just wanted to stop it because they saw them doing something good. And guess what they did? They strengthened themselves. They said they had a mind to build. I'll still talk about that. But you know what? They had to take spears and maybe sword, and then they were building at the same time. They knew that if they decide to fight, they will not build. If they decide to build alone, they will probably be attacked and lose their lives and lose everything. So they decided to do the two together. And that is why, as children of God, we must understand that you may be building your life like the walls of Jerusalem that Nehemiah and the people are building, but it doesn't mean that you should lose your spirituality. And you are becoming spiritual, it doesn't mean that you should not lag behind in every other area of life. No, we have no right to lose in any area. We can do the two together. You can have social impact in life and still be spiritual. This man Nehemiah kept praying to God. He was being spiritual. They were doing reforms. They were building the wall. They were fighting. They were ready to fight. They were defending themselves. Yet they were building. Which means, as a child of God, the fight of faith cannot be lost. And yet you can't lose your relevance in life. Social impact must be there. Spiritual impact must remain intact. You can be rich and be righteous at the same time. We saw that in the life of Abraham. Abraham had impact. That was the one that rescued cities. Just because he wanted to rescue his brother, he had so much impact that the king was kind of saying, "You can take everything." He said, "No, what? You know, I don't need it. I'm just okay." So, for you and I as children of God, we must develop ourselves at the same time. Develop our spirituality, develop our impact. Your business can grow while your spirituality is growing. Your career can grow while you are still serving God in church. You can say, "Oh, because I'm the manager of a bank or whatever it is your business is, so that's why I can't come to church again." No, you will find opportunity to come to church. You will look for every opportunity to come to church. And not only church. If you have to start a fellowship in your place of work, you have to start it. Because your spirituality cannot go down because you are building a career. And you can't say, "Now I'm sleeping in church alone. That is why I'm not working." No, it's not an excuse. Every other patriarch in the Bible was still building every other part of their lives while still being spiritual. Abraham was a rich man. He was doing business. He was in agriculture. He was doing all these things. Yet, he was still talking to God. David was a warrior, a king. He still had seven times a day to fellowship with God. So that means we need to live a balanced life. Your sword must be in hand while you are building. We keep building, we keep fighting. We keep building, we keep fighting. And I pray that God releases that grace to you and I to keep building and fighting at the same time and winning at both ends in the name of Jesus. Remember, the Bible says that the word of God is a two-edged sword, which means as you are cutting to this side, you must be cutting to the other side. The Bible is not only for spirituality, it's a two-edged sword. In this world, he said God has given to us everything we need for life and godliness. For life and godliness. As that sword is cutting to this side, showing you the wisdom to go and prosper in life and have the wealth and riches of this world, is also still showing you to the right how to remain spiritual. Which means you and I, we don't have any excuse whatsoever to lose our spirituality because we want to be blessed in life. It's just lack of wisdom. It's just lack of sitting down to ask God which way to go. What do I do? How do I plan this? We can remain steadfast serving God and still be prosperous at the same time. We can remain steadfast, being prosperous and still serving God, and not losing it in both ways. We all need to be strong at both ends. And I pray God will empower us in Jesus' name. Just as we round off, your patience will also be tested. When challenges of life comes your way, you will be tested whether you have patience or not. God said after you have done all, you need to have patience. Because if you don't have patience, you will not only lose in this life, you will lose in heaven. We can be balanced at both ends. You must remain patient. If you have done everything, you have prayed, you have fasted, you are doing your work, then you have to be patient. And while you are being patient, you listen to God at the same time. And I pray God empowers us in Jesus' name. So your patience will be checked out. And then what are the strategies for walking in the way of the winner? Number one. Have a mind. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 6. It says, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work." Do you know why they built? They had a mind to work. They built the wall. The entire wall was joined together. Remember when we read a few weeks ago that everybody more like build a wall in front of his house. They did their own little part, and then the other person did their own little part, and the wall was completed. But do you know why they did that? They all had a mind to build. We saw a man with only daughters, and he gathered his daughters and built. He didn't say, oh, my daughters are not strong. No, they all looked for the strength wherever I went to. Which means if you really want to win, if I want to win, I can't give any excuse. I will look for that strength. Okay, I didn't go to school. You can still go to school. There are people who are 70-something and still went to school. There are opportunities for us right now. Even if you don't want to do it formally, there is YouTube. There are so many things online that you can study to achieve any level of excellence you want to achieve in life. By your own. On your own. Today, I can testify that the business I'm doing, there is no formal education that I went through in this business. Yes, of course, I have formal education, but it was in another way. It was in construction. Now I'm a tech expert. But that's not what I studied in school. This is more like a self-taught thing. I found every avenue to teach myself, to pay people to learn, but I did it anyway. God helping me. So which means if you have a mind, your mind must remain intact no matter what is happening inside of you, around you, with people, with your finances, with your life, with people around you. People don't believe in you, it doesn't matter. Believe in God and trust what God says about you. Without your mind, Paul says, I can do nothing. He says to them, I see, these are the things I have, but if you don't have a mind, if you don't agree with this, it cannot happen. God may have a plan for you and I, a great plan for you and I, but if we don't agree with God, if our mind is not there, if our mind doesn't agree with God, we will still lose out. God needs our mind to work. That is why he made us people with free will. Your mind is important. My mind must be there. If God says he will bless me, I must agree with God to bless me. And what is the third thing? I have a plan that must be followed. That must be followed. That man said, I have set my face as a flint, which means undivided attention, laser focus. This is what I need to accomplish. I will accomplish it. If you don't have to watch movies for months, you can even turn off your TV. There was a time in my family when things were not going well. We had this TV that looks like a box. All this box TV. We had it. We had the opportunity to buy one. I said, no, this is not the next thing to do. We are not buying anyone. Anything that can be watched on this one should be watched. And eventually, it's not TV that is my problem now if I want to buy TV. So, what I'm saying is, you set your face as a flint. If you have to stop watching ball just to be able to focus on your life, you can stop it. They are not giving you anything. This omo, me, my child, my team, there's nothing like that. They are not giving you anything. If you have to stop it just to focus, to have extra time, if you have to do sleepless nights, please do it. Because the way of the winner requires laser focus. I have set my face as a flint. It's talking about laser focus. And finally, you must remain on track. That is the final thing today. If God has told you this will be accomplished, you must understand that it is hard work. You will work it out with God. God has done his part. He said he has given to you and I everything that has to do with life and godliness. But if we don't do it, if we don't follow the plan of God and work with God, that thing will not be accomplished. It doesn't matter how many years that we put into it. No. We have to keep doing our part. Because God's part is done. And God is faithful. I can tell you that God is faithful. If we remain on that path and remain faithful, God's faithfulness is already established. And I pray today that for everyone listening, that God will empower you, because there is also grace, which is the last thing. There is a grace that empowers you to do the right thing. That is what they call grace exactly. That makes it easy to do. So I pray for everyone today that the grace required for you and I to walk in the path of the winners, to tread the path of the winners, not to give up when challenges of life come, when low self-esteem wants to try to come to our face, when external forces try to push us down, grace for us to remain stable and to walk with God for the accomplishment of our desires. May that grace be released to us in Jesus' name. Amen. That is the end of the episode today. And next week will be another time in God's presence. And I pray that everyone will be blessed also. Please invite someone and put this in your reminder. If you join the YouTube channel, you will always get reminders. So if you have not subscribed, please subscribe. And you can just put this in your calendar so that the alarm will always, or your phone alarm on your phone, so that it will always remind you by this time. For those in Nigeria, it's 9 p.m. every Sunday, and outside MST Mountain Time, it's 2 p.m. For Eastern Time, it's 4 p.m. right now. So, and that's during daylight, during summer. You know, once the time changes, we also announce the new time. It's just whatever the time is, by 1 hour difference, as normal. So, God bless you, and see you next week, everyone, in Jesus' name. Bye.
The good success.com.